Blog Talk Radio.
We are live. Excuse me. We are live for Fan for Racing NASCAR and weekend preview, and it's going to be another big weekend of racing. And we've got NASCAR teams all over the country, including the ARCA Racing Series that's going to be at Madison this weekend. We also have the Camping World Truck Series and Xfinity Series at Iowa Speedway this weekend. And at Sonoma Speedway will be the K&N West and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So here to help me preview this weekend of racing is our co-host, MJ Huseman. Welcome to the show, MJ.
Thank you, Sharon. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite all right. A little rough start there, but I got it going. Okay, let's go ahead and let's get started with the ARCA Racing Series. They're racing up in Wisconsin this weekend at Madison International Speedway. And I'll tell you what, that's going to be this Friday, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And fans will be able to follow practice as well as the race on ARCARacing.com. If you've got MAV TV, you'll be able to see the race on MAV TV as well. So practice sessions at 1:30 to 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time. The race, again, is at 8 p.m. Central Time, again, at Madison International Raceway. Now, still leading the series point stand is Austin Terrio, followed by Dalton Sargeant. Third is Riley Herbst, and fourth, Shane Lee and Brett Holmes. Both of those guys are tied for that fourth position and fifth position. So looking at the entry list, who are your top three to watch this weekend, MJ?
You know, that's a tough one because there's a couple of different names in with the, as you said, NASCAR All-Series are kind of spread out, so we don't see kind of some of the top names in there. But you always got to watch Dalton Sargeant. You know that I'm a fan of his. Gus Dean. And I think Christian Eckes is going to be one to watch this weekend. And he'll be in the number 15
Venturi. Yes. Christian Eckes, as you mentioned, I think I was talking over you, so I'll just repeat it. The number 15 with Venturini Motorsports. And then, of course, Gus Dean is in the number 32. He'll be racing this weekend with the Gree Cooling Products logos on his car. And Dalton Sargeant in the number 77 for Cunningham Motorsports. And he'll have big time on his car this weekend. I think those are all great drivers to keep your eye on this weekend. You can't count out Austin Terrio with Ken Schrader Racing. He'll be in the number 52. He's one of the guys I'm watching this weekend. I agree with you about Christian Eckes, but I think we ought to keep an eye on Riley Herbst this weekend as well. In the number 18, he's racing with Joe Gibbs Racing, and you know they always bring good equipment to the track. And the other name that I'm going to throw out there this weekend, I've got a couple that I want to, but let's say Zane Smith in the number 55. Again, with Venturini Motorsports. He had some bad luck at Michigan, and I think he's going to be looking to make up for it this weekend out at Michigan International Speedway. I'm sorry, out at Madison International Speedway.
Yeah, I'm sure he's looking to rebound. You know, had a tough break, but he's definitely one you want to watch and certainly could come through the field.
Okay. Now, another driver to keep an eye on, I think if you're going to pick some more drivers, number 23, Brett Holmes, for Brett Holmes Racing. He's starting to get his season turned around, I think, and I think we're going to see good things from him in some of these races coming up. And also Shane Lee in the number 22 car this weekend for Briggs Cunningham. Actually, he's racing for Kerry Shearer as part of that Cunningham Motorsports team.
And Cunningham Motorsports is another one you always have to watch, no matter who they have in their cars.
Absolutely. Any other drivers you think we should keep an eye on?
Will Kimmel is making another start this weekend. And of current drivers that are going to be racing this weekend, him and Thomas Prater are the ones with the most starts. Kimmel has 5, Prater has 4. Thomas Prater is in the number 9, DK Lockford, and Will Kimmel is driving the fast diesel fuel systems Ford for Bill Kimmel. So those two have the most starts and experience at that track. See if that plays a factor.
Absolutely, and don't count out Mason Mitchell Motorsports in that number 78 car. This weekend they have Ryan Repko, who's going to be driving that car. So we know the car is really good. Everybody gets a chance to see what Ryan Repko can do in the ARCA Racing Series, and I think he could be one to watch.
And this could be a big weekend as far as the points kind of closing up. Again, I know Terrio's got, 140-point lead, but Dalton Sargeant's been on his game lately, and Riley Herbst just got that first win. I think the second one could be right there, you know.
Yep, I do think so. And there's a lot of great things happening in this. The name of the race is the Montgomery Ward 200, and there's a lot of news coming out with regard to the drivers this weekend. Zane Smith is a spotlight driver over at ARCARacing.com if you want to read up a little bit more about him. But there's a lot of news with regard to these drivers. Actually, did you know that Gus Dean is the rookie leader for the Scott Rookie of the Year?
I did not know that.
So that's over there on ARCARacing.com. You can check that out. Shane Lee, we talked a little bit about him. He's looking for a breakthrough at Madison this weekend up in Wisconsin. And, again, he's racing with Cunningham Motorsports. And he's still looking for his first win this season. And I think he's looking at Madison perhaps being the track that could open that door for him.
It's certainly possible. Again, like I said, the series is kind of wide open. You know, the top 3 in points that each have wins, with Austin Terrio have 2. But there's quite a few that have been there. Gus Dean has 6 top 10s out of 8 starts. Shane Lee and Brett Holmes, they're tied for 4th. Both have 4 top 10s. And then, as you mentioned, Zane Smith is in 8th, and he's got 5 top 10s out of 6 starts. So statistically, he's got the best top 10 finish. But is missing the 1 or 2 races, so that kind of gives a big head start for those guys up top.
It really does. It gives them a chance to either tighten up the point standings or put more points between or to put more points between them. AJ Fike's been moving up that ladder. He was 8th for quite a while. He's now up to 7th in the series point standings. And like I say, some of these drivers haven't even raced the full season, and they are up there in the series point standings. Riley Herbst is one of those drivers. He's one race short of most of the other drivers that are 11th and up. Zane Smith is another driver. Zane Smith only has 6 races, and he's 8th in the series point standings. Riley Herbst, if I didn't mention it, is 3rd. In those series point standings on fewer races than most of those drivers have.
Another one, when you look at it, talking about that, we talked about Christian Eckes. he only has 4 starts with 2 top fives and all 4 top tens. So he's been perfect in the top 10 category in all of his starts. So, again, I think he's going to be one that has a shot at winning. If not, he should be their top 5 at a minimum.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that Christian Eckes is certainly one of the drivers to keep your eye on this weekend. And is that your race winner pick for this weekend?
If I had to pick the winner, I'm going to go with Gus Dean. I think he's going to get his first one. I think Gus Dean gets his first one.
Okay, I think that's a great pick. I'm torn between Dalton Sargeant and Christian Eckes, actually. I think both of those drivers are going to go after it. It's a tough one to call, but I think I'm going to land on Dalton Sargeant this weekend in the number 77 car.
All right. Well, I've been on a little bit of a streak. I think I've picked the right one for the last 3 weeks. So we'll have to see how this one goes in the ARCA series. I'm not doing so good on the Cup side.
Well, that's okay. If you were to pick a dark horse, who's your dark horse for this weekend?
Ooh, for the dark horse, again, due to the experience at the track, I would have to go with Will Kimmel. I know he's not running the full season, so his has been kind of sporadic, but with the experience there, I'd go with Will Kimmel. And I don't know how much of a dark horse you can consider him, but...
Okay. And I'm going to say my dark horse is going to be Thomas Prater. Apparently, this is a track that he's had circled on his calendar since last year. He finished 9th at this track. He was really encouraged by that finish, and he's looking forward to getting back there. He says Madison is the closest thing to his home track, which is at Mobile International Speedway. He's had this one circled, and I think he's looking to really come out there and all guns a-blazing, if you will, at Madison this weekend in the Montgomery Ward 200. So he's going to be my dark horse pick this weekend.
That's really scary because we really do think alike, because that was a coin flip between a pick and Will Kilmoe. And like I said, I don't know if he's considered a dark horse. Thomas Prater was my next one out of my mouth.
Okay, so I think you got some really good picks there. And again, if you don't have MAV-TV, you might want to get it for this race, because I'm sure we're going to see some really good racing there in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend. Again, at 8 p.m. Central Time, you'll be able to follow along at ARCARacing.com if you don't have MAV-TV. And they do a great job with the live timing and scoring. And there's always a chat feature going on during the race as well, with people keeping everyone up to date with what's happening at the track. So check it out, and you'll be able to tune into a pretty exciting race. Let's go ahead. I know we're a couple minutes early, but I think we're going to need it for the K&N Pro Series. Out at Sonoma Raceway. One of the things that's really cool about this race is that you've got the K&N Pro Series racing alongside the top tier of NASCAR's top series, the Monster Energy Cup Series. We've got 3 drivers from the Cup Series that are going to be participating in this race. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You've got Kevin Harvick, who's going to be racing this weekend. There's also, and all of a sudden I lost my page here, I think Ryan Blaney is one of the drivers racing this weekend. And I know there's a third one.
The third one
Daniel
is Daniel Suarez.
Yes,
and
Daniel Suarez. Absolutely. I was just going to say Daniel will be in the number 12. We've got Kevin Harvick in the number 4 car this weekend, and Ryan Blaney will be in the number 88 car this weekend. So they're going to be going right and left. And what's kind of cool about doing this for these 3 drivers is it gives them a little seat time on the track before their big race in the Cup Series.
I know it's a big debate amongst fans as far as whether or not they like seeing these guys in the lower series, but the drivers themselves will tell you that, you know, they learn so much from, you know, if they're behind them, following them. You know, they say that's what, if they get passed by one of them, tuck in line behind them and follow them and watch their line and see their parking points and everything, that they actually learn so much from them that they actually enjoy having them come down.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. We've had drivers on the show that have told us exactly that. They love having the top-tier drivers racing with them because they do learn so much from them when they're at the track with these drivers. So definitely keep an eye on them. But I think you'll find that they actually enjoy, the lower-tier drivers actually enjoy having those big-name drivers on board. Kevin Harvick started in the K&N Pro Series, and that's what's so cool about him is that coming back to kind of his racing roots before he was a star in NASCAR. So it's kind of cool to see him be able to come back and race the K&N Pro Series. Now, before I forget, again, they're racing at Sonoma Raceway this Saturday, June the 24th, a little bit earlier than they normally race. It's going to be at 1:30 Pacific time. Now, that time, if you translate that to East Coast time, you got to go back 3 hours, so 12:30, 11:30, about 10:30 Eastern time. Or am I going the other way? I think it's the other way. We got to go the other way. 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, it's going to be Eastern time that you'll be able to see that race.
There you go.
Yeah, I was going backwards. Now, again, you follow along at NASCAR Home Tracks, Race Central, but they will air the race Thursday, June 29th at 11 p.m. Eastern time. So set your DVRs for this one. Another driver to keep your eye on this weekend is Will Rogers. He's pretty good on the road courses, and it's going to be a good opportunity for him. He might get a breakthrough this weekend.
Yeah, he comes, as you said, from the racing background and is currently fifth in the K&N Pro Series West standings with 4 top fives in 7 races. Made his series debut at Sonoma last year at this race, with his best finishes in 2016 coming in consecutive races at Utah Motorsports Campus, where he was seventh twice.
Yeah, so he's definitely one to watch this weekend. Another driver that I think you should keep your eye on is Michael Self. He's in the number 9 Sunrise Ford. He's currently 8th in the series point standings. Again, he hasn't raced the full season. He missed the season opener. He has 2 top 5s, 6 top 10s, and 6 starts. He has 6 wins in the K&N West, both at Minnesota's Brainerd International Raceway and at Iowa Speedway. His career best finish, though, was a 3rd at Sonoma, along with 2 top 5s and 3 top 10s and 4 starts at that track. So Michael Self could be a driver to keep your eye on this weekend as well.
Well, and just at Sonoma alone in the K&N Series, he's got 4 starts with 2 top 5s and 3 top 10s.
Exactly, exactly, along with a career best 3rd finish there. His teammate is Julia Landauer. She's in the number 6 Sunrise Ford. She's 4th in the current standings. She's the highest finishing female driver in the K&N West history with her point standings from last season. And I misquoted that earlier. That was a fourth place finish. She's seventh in the point standings this year with her three top tens and seven races, including four top tens in her last five starts. So things are turning around for Julia Landauer. She qualified sixth and finished 11th at Sonoma last season, and that was her only start. So the fact that she's coming back to a track that she's been at before is probably a good thing for Julia Landauer.
And I love seeing this. Another one right above her in the points, sixth in points, is Nicole Behar, also with a fourth-place finish, the best finish of fourth this year, total of one top five and five top tens. So I like watching them battle it out as far as kind of a inner battle of best female out there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's good to see a couple of different females racing in the series. Now, we can't forget our points leader and the guy who's in second place, Chris Eggleston in the number 99 car and Todd Gilliland in the number 16 car, both for Bill McAnally Racing, could be drivers to watch this weekend too. Chris Eggleston has 8 career pro Can-Am West wins, 26 top fives, 29 top tens, and 38 career starts. So he's a veteran of this sport. He was the 2015 series champion with BMR. He's won 2 straight races, which we kind of predicted would happen for Chris. Orange Show Speedway and Colorado National, those are the last 2 outings for this series. So he has some momentum on his side this weekend. He's posted his career best finish of 13th at Sonoma. That was in 2015. But I think that momentum could really help him out this weekend.
Well, and like you said, he's definitely got the momentum, and I believe you picked him. I think you got me here in the Pro Series West. I believe you picked him to win last week. I didn't think he'd go back-to-back over Gilliland.
Okay, and then Todd Gilliland in the number 16 car, he's won 6 of 14 races last season with 11 top fives, 13 top tens. And he, of course, he was the champion last year, becoming the youngest champion in NASCAR touring history at 16 years, 5 months. And he joined his grandfather, Butch Gilliland, as a Can-Am West champion. His grandfather won that championship in 1997. We've covered this ad nauseum, but he's won the first 5 pole awards this season with 4 straight wins, and he's just had an amazing season. 6 top fives, 7 top tens, and he's currently leading those point standings by 7 points over Chris Eggleston. He finished 24th last year at Sonoma. That was his first time at the track, and it was his only race outside the top 10. So he's a NASCAR Next driver, one in this brand new class that was just announced. But what do you think? Can he do better this season with all this momentum he has on his side?
I think he will improve. I don't know that he's got the talent with the road course yet. It's tough to tell because he has such talent. But I think he might get a top 5, but I don't see him winning.
Okay. What about his teammate Derek Krause in the number 19 car at BMR?
As a rookie, this a road course. I mean, I know he's with what he's shown this year in 7 starts. He's got 4 top tens and 5, or I'm sorry, 4 top fives and 5 top tens with the best finish of second 3 times. Again, road courses are a different beast, and they unfortunately only race on the 1 per year. So I think it takes him a year or 2 to get acclimated to the left and right turns. I think you're going to see, as we talked about, maybe one of the Cup drivers coming in, or I think I'm going to go with Michael Self as the pick to win overall.
Okay. I think he's going to have to beat Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, and Daniel Suarez on his way to doing that. Let's go over some of the stats for the Cup drivers that are racing, because I think you're right. Last year, Chase Elliott won this race at Sonoma Raceway, so a good chance that it'll be one of these Cup guys that will get a win. And they've all raced in the Can-Am Pro Series before.
Yeah, of the non-series regulars in recent history, four of the last six winners at Sonoma have been scored by a Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series driver. As you mentioned, Chase Elliott in last year's. Kyle Larson won the race in 2014. Joey Logano and David Gilliland went back-to-back in 2011 and 2015.
Okay. Well, looking at the stats for our Cup Series guys, Daniel Suarez won the Xfinity Series Championship last year, making him the first Mexican driver to do so in NASCAR's National Series. He has four Can-Am Pro Series East wins and has a combined total starts of 46 with 13 top fives, 24 top tens between the East and the West. He's never competed with the series, though, at Sonoma. So this will be his first trip at Sonoma. He is running, however, for the Rookie of the Year award in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So just a little something to be aware of relating to Daniel Suarez this weekend. What about Ryan Blaney?
Let me see. I don't have the stats on him as far as the Can-Am Series.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and take it then. He's making his first Can-Am Pro Series start since finishing second at Iowa in 2012, and his first Can-Am Pro Series West start since 2011 when he raced at Phoenix. He earned his first career Monster Energy Cup Series win this month that was at Pocono, and he won his only Can-Am Pro Series West race at Phoenix back in 2011 that we mentioned earlier. He has one career road course win in one of NASCAR's National Series champion series, and that was Camping World Truck Series race at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in 2014. That could help him out this weekend at Sonoma.
Well, and aside from Kevin Harvick, as you mentioned, we talk about they need the experience too, again, coming up through some of these series if they only race there once a year. And the Cup Series only runs two a year. That gives them that extra track time that they need to help them develop, you know. And I know they turn to a lot of the veterans. We got a couple when we talk about the Cup Series that do training with them. But that gives them that extra track time so they can improve at their level now, even at the Cup Series or Xfinity Series.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we mentioned earlier, the 1998 Can-Am Pro Series West champion, Kevin Harvick, won at Sonoma during his championship season. It was one of six wins in 22 career starts in the series. So this is kind of a cool thing for Kevin Harvick to be coming back to the series where he was a champion. He's currently fourth in the Cup Series standings, and he did win the championship in 2014. He has one career road course win in all of the NASCAR National Series, and that was at Watkins Glen in the Xfinity Series back in 2007. So what do you think about his chances of winning this weekend?
I think he's got a very good chance, and I want to say that I think his intent with it too, though, is to bring back to the series. As you said, that's where he came from, that's where he developed. He wants to bring some attention back to that series while they're out there. You know, this is an opportunity for him to give back, which a lot of these drivers like to do.
Absolutely, and I think it's great to see that. We heard one of the drivers earlier this season, and I think it was Kyle Larson, saying that he thought it would be a good idea for more drivers to get back to the grassroots of racing. So this is a cool thing to see with these three Cup drivers racing with the K&N guys.
When I believe Kyle Larson just picked up his fifth win of the week, winning again in a sprint car. I don't have it readily available where that was at, but he did just pick up another one.
Okay, well, who's your pick to win this weekend in the Carneros 200?
Again, I'm going to stick with Michael Self. I think he can even outrun the top guys that are dropping down.
Okay. I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney this weekend at Sonoma. He's actually has a road course win in the Camping World Truck Series at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, and I think that is going to help him this weekend. Although I do think Kevin Harvick's going to be tough to beat as well. He also has a road course win at Watkins Glen. That was in the Xfinity Series. But I definitely think one of those two drivers will win this weekend. But I do like your pick of Michael Self. I'm really impressed with Michael. He's been a coach for a lot of drivers, and I think he is going to do well this weekend.
He's definitely been hanging with him. As we said, he's short a start or two, but still battling there in the points, sitting eighth in points.
Right. With fewer races. Okay, now let's go ahead and head over to Iowa Speedway, where both the Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series are racing this weekend. I wish I could be there this weekend for that. I've got a lot of things going on. Otherwise, I would be there. But I did put in my for my credentials in a few weeks when the K&N Pro Series will be racing at Sonoma Raceway at the end of July. So I do plan to be at Iowa Speedway when that happens. But talking about the Camping World Truck Series here, how great was it to see John Hunter Nemechek get his first victory this season at Gateway Motorsports Park last week?
That's one of those. I don't think you can call yourself a NASCAR fan or a race fan if you weren't happy to see that. They're still looking at the possibility of not being able to complete this season, even though they're locked in for the championship. I heard an interview with his dad, Joe Nemechek, as the owner. John had picked Gateway and Iowa as two that he definitely wanted to go to and felt he could win at. So they scraped together and put a truck out there for him, and he took it to victory lane.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And speaking of that, I heard an interview with John Hunter today, too, in which he was saying they're seven races short. So if there's anybody out there looking for a Truck Series team to sponsor, help out John Hunter Nemechek there at Nemco Motorsports. They could really use it because this is a championship-caliber driver. A lot of people thought John Hunter Nemechek finished second last year in the series point standings, and a lot of people thought he'd be a serious contender this year. It seems like after he had that incident with Cole Custer, things did not go quite as well for him, but he's back on track, and that's the good news for him as a driver with this Nemco Motorsports. He had a really strong race. He led all 35 laps of the first stage of the race, and at one time he even passed the veteran, Matt Crafton, late in the race before he went on to win that to get that victory. So Nemechek actually broke a seven-race streak in the Camping World Truck Series because all of those races have been won by either GMS Racing or Kyle Busch Motorsports this season.
And that earned him a spot into the 2017 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series playoffs, joining current points leader Johnny Sauter, who's been a two-time winner this season, Christopher Bell and rookie Kaz Grala, who have also won this season, as you mentioned, between those two teams. His win at Gateway Motorsports Park put him in elite company, as the win was the first race he's won in which his father and team owner, Joe Nemechek, we talked about, was also a participant. So he beat his dad while driving. The only other sons to win in a NASCAR National Series race with their father competing have been Richard Petty, Kyle Petty, Davey Allison, and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It is a great milestone for him. What about Chase Briscoe? I'm so proud of this kid. He's not really a kid, but I'm really proud of him because he's had back-to-back second-place finishes. I'm sure he's looking for a breakthrough this weekend. He's contending for the Rookie of the Year for this Camping World Truck Series with Brad Keselowski Racing, and it's his second. He's his second top two finish, and as I mentioned, they were back-to-back. Briscoe also won his second Keystone Light Pole Award earlier in the day at Gateway, and he won the first stage of the season as he won stage two of that particular race at Gateway. This season he has three top three finishes, four top tens, and through eight races, he is really, really doing well. Briscoe is currently tied with Thor Sports' Grant Infinger for the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings. They both have 104 points, and I think we're going to see that kind of go back and forth.
It's one of those of in the truck series, one of those that haven't won yet, Chase Briscoe and Ben Rhodes. Either one of them, I mean, they've both been right there. I'm not sure which one I would have to pick as far as getting that first win first.
Yeah, it'd be a tough pick to make. Right now there's three Sunoco Rookie of the Year contenders in the top eight in points. And as you know, it's the top eight that go on to the playoff. Chase Briscoe is fourth, Grant Infinger is sixth, Kaz Grala is eighth. So right now, all three of those Rookie of the Year contenders would be in the playoffs. Some other rookies that are doing well, but they're on the playoff bubble, include Noah Gregson, who's 10th, Austin Cindric in 12th, Cody Coughlin is 13th, and Justin Haley is 14th in the series points. So they have a little bit of work to do, but it is something to keep your eye on as this season continues to progress.
And to see the rookies battling like that with these veterans and second to third year drivers, you know, you got Johnny Sauter at the top of the points, Christopher Bell in second, Matt Crafting in third, and then you're talking about where the rookies start. You mix in there Ben Rhodes and Ryan Truex. You know, that's quite a mixture amongst the different drivers.
Yes. I think if NASCAR could have a perfect world, that would be it, to have that kind of mix in the Camping World Truck Series. I think it's pretty fantastic. In the last two Camping World Truck Series races at Iowa, the winners have both been Sunoco rookies. That makes it a little more interesting when you're talking about the rookies in this race. So last season, William Byron drove the number 9 Kyle Busch Motorsports to victory lane at Iowa, and he went on to become the Rookie of the Year in the Camping World Truck Series. In 2015, another Kyle Busch Motorsports driver, Eric Jones, won at Iowa Speedway, and he was also the Rookie of the Year in the Camping World Truck Series and also won the series championship during that same season. There are 9 Rookie of the Year contenders making their track debut at Iowa. I'm curious to know which one of these you think could come off with the win this weekend. Chase Briscoe, Wendell Chavot, Austin Cindric, Cody Coughlin, Grant Infinger, Stuart Friesen, Noah Gregson, Kaz Grala, and Justin Haley.
Oh, and I only get to pick one out of that. Wow.
Yeah.
I would have to give the nod to Chase Briscoe, and that would also give Ford their first victory of the year in the Camping World Truck Series. So I'd go with Chase Briscoe out of the group of rookies.
I think that's a great pick, and I think if we're talking Sunoco rookies, you got to go with the one who's tied with him in points. Grant Infinger is another possibility there. I'd keep your eye on both of those drivers. Two current Cup drivers, they got their first Truck Series win at Iowa Speedway, were Ryan Blaney in 2012 and Austin Dillon in 2010. So it has happened before.
Yeah, with talking about that, Kyle Busch Motorsports is actually going for their third win there. As you mentioned, William Byron and Eric Jones winning the last 2 years. Not only could you keep with the rookie theme, but keep with the Kyle Busch if Noah Gregson, as a rookie, driving the number 18 for Kyle Busch Motorsports, that would be their third win in the third different truck number.
He was going to be my dark horse pick of this race is Noah Gregson.
For a dark horse, man, this series is so competitive, it's tough to consider any of them a dark horse.
That's true.
You know what, with looking at that, I would go with Harrison Burton, also in the Kyle Busch Motorsports, but he's not running for Rookie of the Year because he's running in the K&N Pro Series East. But Harrison Burton is starting in that number 51, so I would take him as my dark horse.
Okay. He's finished 13th in his two starts this season in the Camping World Truck Series. I'm sure Harrison Burton is looking to improve on that finish heading into Iowa this weekend. Now, there's going to be a couple of Xfinity Series drivers because they're racing at the same track this weekend. So Ross Chastain is going to be back in a truck this weekend along with Brandon Jones. So keep your eye on those guys as well. Chastain's going to be driving the number 66 Bolin Motorsports Chevy, and Jones is running the number 99 Matthew Miller Motorsports Chevy. So keep your eye on these two drivers as well because they could do well at Iowa.
You know, I've been really impressed with what Ross Chastain is doing. We've talked about him for a couple of weeks, getting some starts. He got a start in the Cup Series, running the triple header at Dover. I like what I'm seeing out of him as of late.
Me too. I think this has been good for him to race in this series.
When we've been talking about the owner point standings, GMS Racing's number 21 Silverado, Chevy Silverado, is still at the top of the points and has led through eight races. Kyle Busch's Motorsports number 4 Toyota Tundra is back 38, driven by Christopher Bell. Thor Sports number 88, driven by Matt Crafton, Toyota Tundra is 62 back. And then is Brad Keselowski's Ford F-150, 69 back. And Thor Sports, again, with the number 27, is 99 back. Those are your top five in owner's points.
Okay. Keep in mind, too, now that I'm going to think about who your race winner pick is while I give the details of this particular race. For fans, because this is going to be the M&M's 200 presented by Casey's General Store at Iowa Speedway this weekend. It's Friday, June the 23rd at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The coverage is going to be on Fox Sports 1 starting at 8. You can also find coverage on MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. This is a 200-lap race covering 175 miles, and the segments are broken up into 60 laps. So stage one ends on lap 60, stage two on lap 120, And, of course, the final stage will end on the last lap of the race, which is lap 200. So who's your pick to win this weekend in the Camping World Truck Series?
Well, in his only start there, he got a fourth-place finish. I'm going to go with Ben Rhodes. He's been knocking on that door. I think it's time to kick it in.
I think that's a great pick. I would love to see Ben Rhodes win at Iowa. And if you remember, we talked to Ben Rhodes earlier this season, and Iowa was one of those tracks he was looking forward to getting back to this season. He's got some experience on that track in the K&N Pro Series. He's been racing a couple of years now in the Camping World Truck Series, and he's got 10 races under his belt with JR Motorsports in the Xfinity Series. So I think that's a good pick for this weekend. Keeping in mind that I'm not going to include the Xfinity Series drivers that are listed as racing this weekend because I want to try to stick to the the Camping World Truck Series regulars, if you will. I think it could be another rookie, and I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe. 2-2-1.
he certainly is another one that you're right, he could, and that would continue the trend of rookies, so I can't argue with that.
Okay, I mentioned Noah Gregson as my dark horse. Who did you say who your dark horse is?
Yeah, I said Harrison Burton in the 51. He's not a rookie because
right.
He's not running for he's not running for the points in that series, but
definitely a driver to keep your eye on. All right, let's move on now to the Xfinity Series, and I'm going to give you the details up front here. It is the American Ethanol E15-250 presented by Anogen. Again, they're racing at Iowa Speedway this Saturday, June the 24th. Again, the race is at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Fox Sports 1, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio will start their coverage at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. They are racing 250 laps. Again, that's broken up into 60-lap increments for the first two stages. So stage one ends on lap 60. Stage 2 ends on lap 120, and the final stage on lap 250 for this Xfinity Series. A lot to look forward to in this Xfinity Series. Elliott Sadler is actually making a milestone this weekend with his 800th National Series start. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that high across all three. With that, he's had 437 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup starts, 342 NASCAR Xfinity starts, and 20 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series starts. He'll become only the 25th driver in NASCAR National Series history to make 800 or more starts. His very first start came in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at South Boston Speedway, July 7th, 1995, for car owner Belle Sadler, which was his mother.
Mm-hmm. If you followed racing, you know he's very close with his mother.
Oh, yes, absolutely. At the age of 20, he wheeled his first ever car to a 15th place start, 8th place finish, and hasn't looked back since. From Emporia, Virginia, he made his first Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series start at Charlotte Motor Speedway, on May 24th, 1998, for car owner Gary Bechtel. I haven't heard that name in a long time. Let's see. His first Camping World Truck Series race came on September 7th of 2000 at Richmond International Raceway for truck owner Robert Long. And he's just one of 29 drivers in NASCAR history to win in all three of NASCAR's top three national series.
Okay, and Sadler's made 12 Xfinity Series starts at Iowa. He's got three poles there. one win in 2012, seven top fives, 12 top tens, and this is pretty impressive. He's got an average finish of 5.2 at Iowa Speedway. So he's definitely one to keep your eye on this weekend. But another driver you may want to keep your eye on, he's been doing really well. He's got four consecutive top ten finishes. He's hoping to make it a five consecutive at Iowa Speedway this weekend. He had a 10th place finish at Michigan this weekend. This past weekend, he's third in the Rookie of the Year standings, and he's 20 points behind William Byron in those rookie standings. And just 1 point behind second place Daniel Hemric. And I mentioned earlier this week that's going to be a battle between Daniel Hemric and Cole Custer over who's going to take that second place spot. And he has been on a really good roll at Iowa Speedway. Although it's his first Xfinity Series start at Iowa this weekend, it's going to be his eighth overall start at the 0.875-mile oval. Custer has three Camping World Truck Series starts and four K&N Pro Series starts at Iowa. So that experience, I think, is going to serve him well this weekend as he goes there with the Xfinity Series. Custer scored his first K&N Pro Series East victory on August 2nd, 2013, and that was at Iowa Speedway from the pole. He took home the checkered flag at 15 years, 6 months, 10 days, becoming the youngest winner in Pro Series history. In addition to breaking Dylan Kwasniewski's record for the youngest race winner, Custer also became the first driver to lead all 150 laps of that event. So I think Cole Custer could be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend.
Most certainly. Again, when we were talking about the trucks between Briscoe and another rookie, I can't remember we talked about, but in the Xfinity Series, it's between William Byram, Cole Custer, and even Daniel Hemric, because he's had a couple of top five finishes and a second place finish a fourth place finish that got him the Dash for Cash. That one could be a three-way battle for the first rookie to win. There hasn't been one definitive top-notch above the rest runner.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And guess what? Sam Hornish is coming back to the Xfinity Series. I always like it when he's racing. He is going to be he actually won at Iowa Speedway last year, so he is the defending racer. And he'll be in the number 18 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota this weekend. He's with a different team, though. Last year when he won with Team Penske and the number 22 car. But I'm pretty sure that Sam Hornish knows his way around Iowa Speedway, no matter what car he drives. He's another one that's got some impressive stats. Expect him to really do well this weekend. In 9 starts at Iowa Speedway, he's posted 2 wins in 2014 and 2016. He has 6 top fives, 7 top tens, and another impressive average finish of 6.3. Pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, there's a couple of stats about the number 22 car in the Xfinity Series owner standings. Has a lead by a mountain-sized margin of 106. The number 22 car has the third most wins all time in the Xfinity Series wins list with 51, behind the number 60, which will also be on track this weekend, but they're at 94. The number 18 has 62 wins, and 7 drivers have contributed to that number 22's win total over the years. The top being Brad Keselowski with 28, Rick Mast with 9, Joey Logano with 6, Ryan Blaney with 4, A.J. Allmendinger with a pair, and then Bobby Allison and Kurt Busch each have 1. And since the beginning of 2012, which has been the last 5 seasons, no other car number has won more than the number 22 with 29 checkered flags. The number 54 is next with 28, and the 18 with 22 wins during that same window.
Wow, pretty interesting. Did you know, MJ, that we're at the half point of the regular season for the Xfinity Series?
Absolutely, and it has definitely been a great one so far. I can't wait for the second half.
Absolutely. In this first half so far, there's been 10 different winners. That's the most winners this series has seen since 2006. The last season to see 10 different winners was that year. The first 13 races have been very, very exciting in this season. Since the inception of scoring, that was in 1996, the Xfinity Series has had the closest average margin of victory at 0.445 seconds through the first 13 races this season. That tells you how much more exciting this Xfinity Series has been this year. The second closest average margin of victory through the first 13 races was in 2009 at 0.577 seconds.
That would explain why I thought the racing has been so good this year, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. A large part of the closest margin of victory record is due to the series having the most races, 11, since the inception of the electronic scoring in 1996, with a margin of victory less than a second. The previous record was 10 races with a margin of victory of less than a second back in 2000 and 1996. The first 13 races of the season have had an average number of leaders per race of 6.38, which is the most since 2013, when the average number of leaders was only 8. The season has also had an average of 13 lead changes per race, which is the most since 2013 again, a season that had an average of 15 per race through their first 13 races. And so it's kind of nice to look back at what's happened. There's a lot of good things happening in this Xfinity Series, and I think the stage racing is part of the reason why this series has become so much more fun to watch.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and that was one that NASCAR implemented across all three series. That wasn't something they tested in one for a year or two. They put it into effect in all three, and again, I think that has been well received throughout the garage area, through the fans, through the media. You know, that's just been such an impact player in making the racing better.
It really has. Now, we posted an article up on fanforracing.com today, a blast from the past for Regan Smith. He's going to be in the Fox Sports 1 booth this weekend with the coverage for the Xfinity Series race at Iowa. He has a friendship with a Fox Sports race producer, Mark Smith, and believe it or not, they're not even related, but they've been friends because they've been friends for 29 years because they grew up together in neighboring small towns in upstate New York. So there's a restaurant out there. It's called the Happy Days. It's a drive-through restaurant owned and operated by Mark's family, who lives in Cato, New York. And so Regan Smith recalls the days of his family celebrating some of their special occasions at that restaurant, and that's where that friendship actually started. Again, you can read more about that relationship over at fanforracing.com. We have the press release that came out from Fox Sports detailing that relationship, which is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I always love hearing stories like that, and I'm happy to see, unfortunately, Regan Smith didn't have a ride for this weekend, but having a driver like that up in the booth, again, adds so much to the TV coverage. of somebody that's been out there recently and can really break down what drivers are going through, what crew chiefs are strategizing, you know, things like that that add such an insight.
Absolutely. Now, because this is kind of I don't know what you call it, but you've got the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series racing together at Iowa Speedway. It makes sense that some of the Camping World Truck Series drivers would get their feet wet in the Xfinity Series this weekend. So we'll have Christopher Bell in the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. This will be his second series start for JGR this weekend. His series debut was at Charlotte earlier this season, and he did finish in the top five there. So it will be interesting to see what Christopher Bell does in that number 20 car.
Another one that will be back for Joe Gibbs is Kyle Benjamin. He'll be strapping into the number 18 at Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, the car that won last season with Sam Hornish behind the wheel. So he's another one that we'll have to watch for.
Absolutely. And I always like it when Ben Kennedy is back behind the wheel. He's the grandson of Bill France Jr. He's got a limited schedule this season between GMS Racing and Richard Childress Racing. He's going to be back with Richard Childress this weekend in the number two car. And his last start with RCR, he had a top five finish at Talladega. He has one series start at Iowa, and that was last season also with RCR. He started sixth, but he finished 10th.
Another one that's getting a limited start has a lot of pressure on him, and that's Tyler Reddick. And he'll be in the Chip Ganassi Racing number 42 Chevrolet this weekend in Iowa. And the reason he's got a lot of pressure on him is that number 42, with Kyle Larson as his teammate, splitting the ride with him, has already won three times in 2017.
Yeah, that does put a little pressure on you, doesn't it?
Just a little bit.
It's going to be fun. Okay. That's quite a bit that we covered there with the Xfinity Series. Who's your pick to win this weekend?
That's a tough one. You know what? I'm going to go with William Byron. He got edged out by Denny Hamlin last week. I think he takes it this week. I think William Byron gets his first win.
I want to say Elliott Sadler. I really do, because I love to see him get a win at Iowa Speedway. But I'm going to go with Cole Custer. I think Cole Custer is going to have a breakthrough. He's got experience at Iowa Speedway, and I think he's going to bring Stuart Haas Racing a victory this weekend at Iowa.
Certainly would be a good one to see, that one of those that, again, would just be such a feel-good story if he did.
If he's able to do that. I hope he is. Okay, it's time for us to move on to our Monster Energy Cup Series. They're racing. We're headed back to Sonoma Raceway because that's where they're going to be this weekend. And they're racing on Sunday at Sonoma. That will be the 25th of June. The race starts at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the Toyota Save Mart 350. Now, coverage is going to be on Fox Sports 1, PRN, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, and they are going to start their coverage at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll race 110 laps going left and right, covering a distance of 218.9 miles. Now, this is going to sound a little weird because the stages are going to be 25-lap increments. So the first stage ends on lap 25, second stage on lap 50. But keep in mind, this is a lot longer track than most of the tracks they race at. The final stage will end on lap 110, the last lap of the race. So I think this is going to be – I really think that the NASCAR drivers have come up to speed with their road racing skills And I think that it's kind of the new short track of racing is the road course racing. And in fact, I had a conversation with a friend of mine here recently, and we talked about that. And they haven't watched road course racing in a long time because they're thinking of the years when the NASCAR drivers weren't quite up to speed with it. So I've talked this person into watching this weekend so that they can see how well these drivers have advanced their road racing skills.
Well, they've definitely been missing out. You're right. In the past, say, 5 years maybe, I know there's a couple doing it this weekend, but the hiring of a road racing ace or veteran to come in and take the car for the weekend doesn't happen with these top teams anymore. One, because you can't afford the points, you can't afford to do that anymore, to throw a race away like they used to. And second, like you said, these guys have decided that they need to learn how to do this, and they've gone to the schools, they've done their time in the sims. You see some of them running extra track time, so they've decided to take matters into their own hand and make it happen for themselves.
Absolutely, and we mentioned three drivers that are racing the Can-Am Pro Series race the day before, so those three drivers will have a little more seat time than most of the other Cup drivers this weekend. But Larson has to be one of the drivers to watch. He is from that California area. He grew up in Elk Grove, California, and this is a home track for him at Sonoma. The last time in three career starts at Sonoma, Larson's finished 12th in 2016, 15th in 2015, and 28th in 2014. So every time he's been out, he's done better. And actually, this is one of those seasons, Jay, when you can't really look at what Kyle Larson has done at a track before. He's just excelled this year with his racing, and I look for him to have a really good run at Sonoma this week.
Well, you're right about that. You can't go based on past statistics, because he certainly is having a breakout season now in his fourth full-time year in the Monster Energy Cup Series. He's got 7 top 2 finishes and 15 starts this year. So,
I think Larson. Go ahead.
Oh, what were you going to say about Larson? Go ahead.
No, I just think Larson would love to bring home a victory at a track like Sonoma, so close to where he grew up.
Yeah, well, and he already got the one out in Auto Club, so he can make it a California sweep.
There you go.
When it comes to the stages, though, we're talking about the different stages for the road course, Truex continues to just pile up the playoff points. We talked about how enjoyable it's been with the stage racing. The number 78 Furniture Row Racing driver has won the first two stages at Michigan last week with his stage victories to a total for the Monster Energy Cup Series, leading 10. And that gives him 20 playoff points plus his 2 checkered flags. So far this year, he's picked up the 2nd most points during the race when he finished 6th at Michigan. And even though Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that. You go ahead.
Even with that strong effort, though, again, with what Kyle Larson we just talked about has been doing, he dropped back to 2nd in points behind Carl Eisen's in the overall point standings. So Truex will be looking to take that back this weekend at the Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, where a track where he won in 2013. And he leads the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series in abundance of statistical categories, and that includes average running position of 7.1, a driver rating of 113.9, and the fastest laps run of 525, and total laps led of 938.
Yeah, there's only 5 points between Kyle Larson and Martin Truex Jr., And you're really going to see that stage racing play out this weekend, I think, at Sonoma. When you think about 5 points, a stage win can be the difference between taking over that points lead and not taking over that points lead. So definitely keep your eye on these two when it comes to stage wins this weekend at Sonoma.
And between the two of them, we talked about.
Go ahead.
As I say, we're just talking about those two and what they've done as far as accumulating the points. As mentioned, they're 5 points apart. Kyle Busch in third in points is 130 back behind those two. So that's the gap the two of them alone have built over everybody else.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? Okay, let's move on to Chase Elliott. He has not had a win yet this season, and it's already at the midpoint. So he's looking to really go after that first-place finish this weekend. He's logged finishes of 5th at Dover, 8th at Pocono, 2nd at Michigan, and in his first 3 starts, he now sits 5th in the series standings. Again, he's 162 points behind the leader, Kyle Larson. In his 2 road course races as a Sunoco rookie last year, Elliott placed 21st at Sonoma and 13th at Watkins Glen. And just remember, we mentioned earlier, Chase Elliott won the K&N Pro Series West race at Sonoma last year. So it's not that, you know, he can be good on these road courses. It's going to be fun to see what he's going to be able to do at Sonoma this year, because again, you can't necessarily look at what he's done in the past. He's having a breakout season this year in the Monster Energy Cup Series.
And yeah, with building that experience, I definitely see him improving on those finishes. But when you talk about a road course in Sonoma, we got to talk about AJ Allmendinger. JTD,
yes.
Daugherty's driver, always a threat to win on the road courses. In 2014, he visited Victory Lane at Watkins Glen to make the playoffs. And in the last 3 years, he started in the top 2 at Sonoma. But due to self-inflicted mistakes, if you will, the tire he lost on pit road, that's kind of hurt his finishes. But he's finished 14th in 2016, 37th in 2015, and 37th as well in 2014. But he's led 56 laps in those 3 races, which is the most in the series. You know, he describes it as a real technical track. You're beating and banging on each other, and there's spots where you can make the passes. The tires go away quick if you don't conserve them. So he says it's a very challenging track, but he's one that's always been up to it.
Absolutely. You're right. You can't mention a road course without mentioning AJ Allmendinger. And if you think about it, this is his best chance at getting into the playoffs for this Cup Series. If he can get a win at Sonoma this weekend or Watkins Glen when they race there, he's going to be in the playoffs.
Now that certainly could, as Sonoma is one of those that can certainly throw a wrench into the, you know, what the playoffs look like right now.
Absolutely. Now, keep in mind, 8 different drivers have won the last 8 races at Sonoma. And it's a lot of interesting names that are on this list. I'm going to go all the way back to 2009 when Casey Kane won. 2010, it was Jimmy Johnson. In 11, it was Kurt Busch. 12, Clint Bowyer won. In 2013, it was Martin Truex Jr. Carl Edwards won in 2014. Kyle Busch in 2015. And it was Tony Stewart who won last year at Sonoma Raceway. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins this year, but it looks like it's those drivers that are more experienced.
And yeah, as you said, over the last 12 years, it's been 10 different winners with Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, Truex, Bowyer, Johnson, Kane as the only active drivers with wins at the Northern California Road Course. Kyle Busch is the only one to visit in Victory Lane twice.
Yeah. and the kind of season he's having this year, it would be a huge relief for him, I think, if he were to pull off a third win this weekend out at Sonoma and get that win under his belt. But the guy who is at the very top when it comes to road courses, going back to just last year in 2016, you got to mention Denny Hamlin. In 2016, the number 11 driver won at Watkins Glen for his first road course victory. But before that, he placed runner-up at Sonoma after leading a race-high 33 laps and getting passed by Donnie Stewart on that last turn. Hamlin's road course win cemented his position as one of NASCAR's most versatile drivers. He's won at least one race at a super speedway, an intermediate track, a short track, a road course, a restrictor plate track, and the turn three turn, the track with three corners, a Pocono Raceway. So Denny Hamlin could be a driver to watch too. He won the Xfinity Series race at Michigan last weekend, and he was a contender in the Cup Series race as well.
You know, in prepping for the show, that might be the one thing that caught me off guard the most. Not that I've never not counted him as a road course driver, but that he had the best in 2016 on the two road courses.
Yeah, pretty impressive, really.
Now, earlier
okay,
we
let's
talked
talk about the home.
Oh, there you
the
go.
Home
That's
state
what I was
guys,
going
right?
to. Yep.
Go ahead.
We talked about Kyle Larson being from Elk Grove, California, and again he had the win out there in California Auto Club Speedway earlier this season, looking to maybe sweep the California. But there's a couple other Golden State Warriors. We talked about Kevin Harvick, and he is from Bakersfield. Matt DiBenedetto is from Grass Valley. Jimmy Johnson, we know, is from El Cajon. A.J. Allmendinger from Los Gatos. Cole Witt is from Alpine. And Tommy Regan is from Tracy. So those are your California guys that are going to be looking to win in their home state.
Yeah, Tommy Regan is a local driver out there that's going to be racing this weekend, and he's pretty good on the road courses. So I would look for him and see what he does this weekend out there at Sonoma Raceway. Cars 3 is going to be prominently featured at Sonoma this weekend. It was a top-rated movie at the box office last weekend, and they're going to be center stage at Sonoma for this Cup Series race. In fact, comedian and actress Cristela Alonso, the voice of Cruz Ramirez in that movie, has been named the Grand Marshal of the Toyota Save Mart 350. And a lot of people know who John Lasseter is from Disney Pixar. He a lot of times is kind of the man behind the whole Pixar story, but he spent a lot of time with Disney as well. He's going to serve as the official pace car driver this weekend at Sonoma. So look for Cars 3 to be center stage this weekend at Sonoma Speedway, Sonoma Raceway.
Well, and that's the paint job that Kyle Larson had on his car with his win at Michigan. So what more advertisement can you ask for?
Yeah, that was perfect lead-in to this weekend, right? So who's your race winner pick for this weekend, Jay?
All right. I think I'm going to upset my mom this week because she might be listening. If she's listening, I'm sure she's listening. Last week she didn't listen to me, and in our league, I picked the top two finishers, so she had that option and didn't take them. But this week we're going to go with Jamie McMurray.
Interesting pick. Any particular reason?
With the year he's been having, it's been quiet, but he's one that on a road course is so very solid. In 14 races at Sonoma, he's got two top fives and two top tens with three poles and having led 41 laps. I think he's going to be the one to come out with that surprise victory and shake up the playoff points this weekend.
Okay. My pick is kind of along the same lines. He's not had the best year, but he's been a contender in a lot of the races in this first half of the season. I'm going to go with Harvick, and I think I'm going to pick him because of the seat time he's going to have in that Can-Am Pro Series on Saturday. I think that's going to help him on Sunday. The other driver that I would pick for Sonoma, I picked him for the Can-Am Pro Series. What do you think about a Ryan Blaney sweep this weekend?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, he's definitely showing some great improvement this year, getting the win. I don't know that a road course here is where he's going to get it done. There's too many other Cup guys that have, you know, the experience and are trying to get that win already, whereas Blaney's already got one in his pocket. So if I were to pick a second driver, and it would go with the Cars 3 theme, running the paint scheme for Cars 3 this weekend is Clint Bowyer.
Oh, that would be great to see. It would be fun to see Clint Bowyer come home with a victory. It's been a long, hard road for him the last couple of years. And to see him come home with a victory this weekend, I think it would be another one of those emotional wins.
And as you said, he had the win in 2012, and in 11 races, he's got the one win, 6 top fives, and 8 top tens, having led 82 laps.
And who is that?
Clint Bowyer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Clint Bowyer, I think, is a great pick. I would love to see a Clint Bowyer victory this weekend. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. And he could definitely be a driver to watch. Let's go ahead and hit some of the news. I wanted to get into the penalty report. Have you seen that for this week?
I have seen some of it.
Okay.
Make sure what you're referencing
the penalty
first here.
Report. Yeah, the penalty report this week was kind of interesting for Michigan International Speedway. There were a couple drivers in the Xfinity Series and one in the Camping World Truck Series. The number 20, that was the race-winning car, if I remember correctly, with Denny Hamlin behind the wheel. They had a splitter problem. There was a problem with the splitter structure, and it was not flat at the race finish. So that makes it an encumbered race finish for that number 20 car. Crew chief Chris Gabart was fined $25,000 and suspended for the next two Xfinity Series Championship points events. The team has been assessed also with a loss of 25 series points owners points. So that was kind of a devastating hit for that number 20 team.
It is, and, you know, for that team, it's a matter of the team owner championship because they have rotating drivers throughout that car.
Mm-hmm.
The one negative thing The encumbered finish thing, I'm not a big fan of the encumbered finish, you know, considering an encumbered win. I don't know what the answer is, if it's taking the win away. You know, in this case, the victory was, I'd have to find the margin of victory, but it was less than a second over William Byron, who is running in that series for the points, you know, for the driver championship. I don't know if taking the win away is the right answer, but I don't like the encumbered finish. That's just kind of gets kind of muddled, if you will.
Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you because I think that NASCAR needed to do something that was going to make an impact for drivers that are and those teams that are pushing the envelope, and I think to have somebody who is found in a violation be able to still get that win and that win put them into the playoffs, I don't think that's right either. So I think the encumbered win really is the answer for that type of a situation. If you're found in violation, that win should not count toward a playoff berth. And not that it would for this team. This particular team, it would not have done that. But you're right. It's the owner points that are really affected in this particular case. And I think it should be affected because that team was not playing along the same rules as everybody else was playing with. And so that's why I think it should be an encumbered win.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. I agree. You know, in the case in the NASCAR Cup Series, Monster Energy Cup Series, that win for Joey Logano doesn't count towards the playoffs.
In this
as his
case,
lock
it doesn't.
In and whatnot.
I got it.
And that's
right.
That's where I'm saying the term encumbered is what gets muddled. I think that they need to strip the win completely. You know, don't call it an encumbered win. He won, but it's encumbered. Take it away from him then. You know, be clear one way or the other. That's what I don't like is that term encumbered and what it entails, because, again, they say it's an encumbered win. Okay, so it's a win, but you don't get credit for the win. What does that mean?
Well, and you're entitled to your opinion. I don't mean to take anything away from your opinion. It's your opinion, and you have every right to it. But NASCAR just has a history of not taking wins away. And I don't see them changing that history of the sport, although they've made lots of changes in the sport. It's just a way of letting people know that they won the race by cheating, by using the word encumbered. So I think if they're consistent with staying with that terminology, I think it becomes a little bit of a cloud over anybody's victory if it's said that it's an encumbered win. So I don't see a problem with it, but I certainly understand your perspective and respect you for having that opinion.
And I understand. I know it goes back all the way back to the first Daytona 500 there with the photo finish that took them 3 days to determine who won, and they didn't like that. Nowadays, with the social media and whatnot, even if you're in the stands and see the finish, if they make that determination within a half hour to an hour, I don't know how long it was before they determined that there was a problem, that news can get out there. You know, I know they wait until Tuesday to report it, but I think they determine it already at the racetrack. You know, when they go through post-race inspection, I think that can get out to the fans before they still even leave the track.
I hear you. Okay. We're down to the last 2 minutes of the show now. So let's go ahead and move on. Okay. You get the last word on it. How about that? Okay. Now, another issue that came up was with Cole Custer's car, the number 00 at Michigan. He had tires and wheels. It was a lug nut issue where they were not properly installed. It's a level one, I think, infraction. Crew chief Jeff Mendering was fined $5,000 for that particular penalty. And on also in the Camping World Truck Series, the number two team had an L1 infraction, post-race front body inspection heights. The post-race height measurements were outside of NASCAR's allowed tolerances, and the race finish is encumbered. Again, it's another encumbered finish. The crew chief, Bruce Cook, was fined $5,000 and suspended from the next Camping World Truck Series Championship points event. The team is assessed with a loss of 10 Camping World Truck Series driver's points and 10 owner points. So that's two encumbered finishes between the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. Since we're down to our last minute here, MJ, let's go ahead and talk about, you promised me an article from last week. I still haven't seen it. Are we going to see it this week?
Yes, and I know I did promise that. I had some other stuff come up. I will get it to you. I'll try to get to you by next show.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Topics? So fans can be on
the one, the one I'm working on that was supposed to be out already was on Dodge's return. And I think the next one I'm going to do, I know we're a little over halfway, but we're getting down to where the playoffs getting real tight. Take a look at who's in and who's out and who might be moving in or pumping somebody out.
Okay, that's fantastic. I think that's a great timing-wise article for us to put out on Fan for Racing. Now, I hope everybody enjoys their race weekend. If you're out at Sonoma area, get out to the track. If you're out at Iowa Speedway, get out there to the racetrack. And if you're at Madison International Speedway area, get out there to the racetrack. There's going to be a lot of fun racing this weekend, and you won't want to miss it. And if you're at home, check out those races online or on TV, whatever avenue is available to you, and definitely check it out. We hope we've given you some good information as you get ready for these races this weekend. And Sal and I will be back next Monday night to do the review of all of these races on our Monday night show. Sal's going to be out at Sonoma Raceway this weekend, so I know he's going to try to get the K&N Pro Series race winner or the highest finishing K&N Pro Series driver to be on the show with us next Monday night. We'll have we always try to have a lineup for you of drivers whenever it's possible on our Monday night show. And then, Jay, you and I will be back here next Thursday night to preview the next weekend of racing at 8:30 p.m. Here on Fan for Racing Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Looking forward to it, as always. And I've already seen some posts from Sal. He's taking some great pictures out there, as he always does, and see him doing some other things in the pre-race ceremonies, if you will. So I always look forward to seeing his stuff and listening to him on Mondays.
Absolutely. Sal, for those of you who don't know, is a great photographer. He puts a lot of his work out on his Facebook page, Sal Segala Jr. And if you're not following him, make sure you give him a follow. Jay, what's your Twitter handle and Facebook info?
Facebook is my name, Michael Hoosman. Instagram and Twitter are under MoparMJ8.
Okay, and of course you can follow me at Fan for Racing site on Twitter. We're a Fan for Racing blog and radio just about everywhere else. And we definitely enjoy all of our followers, all of our listeners, and we hope you enjoy the weekend of racing this weekend. And we'll look forward to talking to everybody again on the other side of the weekend. So enjoy and be safe. And, Jay, thank you so much for all that you do. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.